I have a friend who, because of work, has been separated from her family. She was planning to travel to be with her family for Christmas, but because of COVID, she will not be able to go. I know someone who has lost a beloved family member this past year. And so this Christmas, there will be an empty space at the Christmas table and a hole in their heart. I have a friend with two young daughters, ages 8 and 10, and their mother, his wife, has this very serious illness. And because of that and COVID, they feel like they've lost the summer this past year. And my friend realizes that his daughters will only have about 18 summers with them total from birth. And then they'll head off to college and perhaps be gone for good. Christmas, in the words of the classic Christmas song, is supposed to be the most wonderful time of the year. But many people this Christmas will feel the sting of disappointment and the heartache of loneliness. This year, with the pandemic, we are going through something unique. All of us have experienced some kind of loss. Some of us have experienced big loss. The loss of a loved one. The loss of a job. And if your loss hasn't felt big, you might not want to put yourself in the group of people who have lost something this year, but you have likely lost more than you care to admit. All of us have missed seeing people in person this year. And some of you who are watching this Christmas Eve service online have missed being at our Christmas Eve, typically candlelight service, in person. All of us feel like we have lost choices this year. All of us feel like we are less in control of our life. But our having fewer choices and less control makes our life more similar to how people would have felt that very first Christmas in Bethlehem in the first century. In their world, that first Christmas, because of a Roman census, they had no choice but to travel to their hometowns. This year for us, this Christmas, because of the pandemic, we have no choice but to stay put. When we visualize that very first Christmas, our imagination may be conditioned by images of royal Dalton ceramic nativity scenes. Or a sanitized picture on the front of a Hallmark Christmas card. Mary and Joseph probably would not have recognized themselves in these images as they were desperately looking for a guest room for Mary to give birth that first Christmas. But they couldn't find one. According to early oral tradition, Mary gave birth to Jesus in a cave that was used for housing animals, mostly donkeys and sheep. And based on an account given by James, Jesus's brother, and this is not part of scripture, Joseph went out that first Christmas night in Bethlehem looking for a midwife, suggesting that there might have been some kind of complication with the birth itself. Mary would give birth to her baby into a world where most newborns would not live to see their 20th birthday. And so Mary and Jesus' adoptive father, Joseph, would have had real concerns for the health and well-being of their infant and child. In their first century world, people existed day to day in an arid Middle Eastern farming-based economy that was dependent on the mercy of the rains. The baby Jesus, years later, as an adult, would teach his friends and followers to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," because they needed to pray every day for that day's bread. Mary and Joseph would also start their family in a world of great political instability. King Herod was not Jewish nor Roman. He was an Edomite, an ethnic outsider, and he was terribly insecure and mentally unstable. When he heard the news that the wise men, more popularly known as the Magi, announced that a star had indicated that a king had been born, this insecure tyrant of a king ordered that all the baby boys in Bethlehem, 2 years age and under, should be murdered. And so when Jesus was an infant, his mother Mary and Joseph whisked him up and took him to Egypt, a journey that would have probably taken 6 months on foot. And they lived in Africa as refugees. So Jesus would be born into a world that was far from the ideal. A world where people had concern for the health and well-being of their children, their family members, and their loved ones. A world where people were facing down economic and financial uncertainty. A world where there was this insecure tyrant of a leader that would do almost anything, really anything, to hold on to power, including slaughtering a village full of baby boys to stave off any potential rival. So why did the writers of the Gospels include some of these dark details of the world into which Jesus was born? The writers of the Gospels want us to know that even in the midst of the worst of circumstances, where people are concerned about the health of their children and families and loved ones, in the midst of pandemic, in the midst of economic and financial uncertainty, in the midst of political instability and displaced refugees, in the midst of, and you fill in the blank, these writers want us to know that in the midst of whatever, God comes to us in new and unexpected ways. Back on November 3rd and 4th and 5th, people were watching a national election unfold. And some of us were relieved and really happy with the result. And others among us, deeply disappointed. But it wasn't just people in the United States, but people from various parts of the world who were pinning their hopes on that election. Barack Obama, whom I personally hold in very high esteem, while he was president, once said that the United States is the world's last great hope. As much as I admire President Obama, in that particular statement, he went too far. Good government and nation states really matter. But the world's last great hope is not the United States. The world's last great hope is not my beloved country of Canada, nor the country of my birth, Japan, nor China, nor Russia. The world's last great hope is the one who was born that first Christmas in Bethlehem. It is the Christ. And if you will turn to this Christ who was born for you that first Christmas and invite him to be your light and your power and your guidance, like the old Christmas carol says, you will find increasingly that the hopes and fears of all the years, that the hopes and fears of all your years are met in him this night. And so, no matter what you're facing, if you will turn to this Christ for the first time or in a fresh new way and invite him to be your light and guide, you will find that the hopes and fears of all the years, of all your years, will be met in him. And so if you would like this one born for you, if you would like the God who came for you as a human being to come and be your guide in the coming year and years, I invite you to pray a prayer with me that I pray every Christmas. It's a prayer from that same great Christmas carol with the line, "The hopes and fears of all the years." And the prayer goes like this. And if it expresses your heart, you can pray it with me, line by line in your spirit. O holy child of Bethlehem, that would be Christ. And you can pray with me if you want. Descend on me, I pray. Cast out my sin and enter in. Be born in me this day. I'll pray it once more, and if this expresses your desire, pray it with me in your spirit. O holy child of Bethlehem, this is Christ. Descend on me, I pray. Cast out my sin and enter in. Be born in me this day. And may it be so for you. Amen.